From Psalm 90, verses 1 through 6 and 13 through 17. This is a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn us back to dust and say, turn back, you mortals. For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, or like a watch in the night. You sweep them away. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. Turn, O Lord, how long? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love so that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us and for as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be manifest to your servants and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and prosper for us the work of our hands. Oh, prosper the work of our hands. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
That was was wonderful and a lot of fun, too. Thank you so much. Well, our second scripture reading today comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 22, verses 34 to 40. So listen now to the word of God. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning, Church of the Roses.
Good morning.
I will say Njambo, which is a hello in Kenya, and you respond Jambo. Jambo.
Jambo.
I'm delighted to be here in your midst, and I'm grateful to be in the Church of the Roses. I didn't make it to be a rose, but I made it to be a rosemary. I'm very grateful. So today we focus on the theme of love, and from Matthew chapter 22. And I ask the question, what is love? And in my sermon, you'll be hearing me saying, next. It is not part of the message. It is just instruction to for the person to go to the next slide. So what is love? Is it this, what is expressed in that picture? Beautiful image, but that is just partially part of what love is. And is it that? Maybe, but only partially. For we all know that when the children grow up and everybody has their own perspective, sometimes their opinions about what they thought was love can change because they may differ, they may hurt each other. The same with teenagers. When it is beginning, it's wonderful. Even lovers, when they are adults and getting married, it's great and wonderful. So love is not just romantic love. It is not just friendship love. It is not just sibling love. It is more than that. And is love what we are told by the next slide, by Hadaway? I Googled and I got a song, "What is Love?" And I couldn't play it today, but I just thought of capturing some words. What is love? "Oh, baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me no more. Oh, baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me no more. What is love? Yay, I don't know why you are not there. I give you my love, but you don't care. So what is right and what is wrong? Give me a sign," you know, and it goes on, and there is no answer to that question. And you can see from that song, there is a lot of self-focus on what the other person is not doing. And so, what is love? Love is more than an emotion. It is more than an attitude. It is a state of being. It is more than a feeling. And I think when we talk of true love, it is a combination of all those aspects of ourselves. It is a combination of feelings, emotions, attitudes, and state of being. Love is strong. The greatest example I can think about love is the example of God. In the book of Ezekiel, we see God giving us an example of his love, and he is using Israel as a woman, as a lady, and God is the romantic lover in this text. In Ezekiel chapter 16, we see God saying he has loved this woman, but this woman is prostituting. But even though the woman is prostituting, he still loves her. And then in the book of Hosea, we see God telling the prophet Hosea to actually demonstrate God's love by loving his harlotry wife. And we see the wife going, and the Hosea has to keep pursuing to demonstrate God's love. Then we see God again depicting himself as a romantic lover in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 23. But now he is talking about his love towards the northern and the southern kingdoms, and he is depicting them as two young women who in the beginning were filthy looking. They were covered with blood. If you have read that text, it's Aholiba and Ahola. And God says that he cleaned their filth from the very beginning, and then he nurtured them, and they grew up to become beautiful women. And he was this lover wanting a reciprocation of that love, but instead they continued prostituting. God continued to love unconditionally, even though. And in our text, in Matthew 22, sorry, that is a typical that typing error. In Matthew 22 that we just read, we see the Pharisees coming to Jesus asking a big question: what is the greatest commandment? And then Jesus' answer is profound, because if you read the context of that passage, Jesus had answered a question that had been raised by the Sadducees, and in a way, the Sadducees that believed there was no resurrection were puzzled, because Jesus answered in a way to imply there was a resurrection. And the Pharisees, thinking that, oh, Jesus is great, you know, now he is on our side, he is having an answer that is similar to ours, they pose a question in the context of kind of a competition. There are Sadducees here. So, Master, what is the greatest commandment? And I think in their minds they thought Jesus will answer in a way that will favor them and probably not favor the Sadducees or maybe other schools of thoughts. By the time of Jesus, when Jesus came, the Pharisees had 613 laws. And so for them, it was more about law. Jesus gave a profound answer to the question, what is the greatest commandment? So Jesus says the greatest commandment is love. And therefore, it was no longer about who would win the competition. It was not about laws. It was not about the different perspectives. It was about love. And so Jesus sums up the whole essence of law. It is not the numbers. It is not the commandments, but it is a call to love. And he gives three levels of love, the first level being the love for the Lord your God. It is important to note that Jesus talks about the love for the Lord. So first of all mentions Lord and then God, because there is an implication here that God needs to be the Lord of our lives. God needs to be the Lord of their lives even then. And therefore, there is a willingness to love him back because of that act of surrender. So what God is looking for is an attitude of surrender where we want him to take preeminence in every affair of our lives. I was born in a Christian family. I was born in a family that was not Christian and never went to church. I messed up there. Sorry about that. It was not a Christian family. They were not going to church. But after some time of discovering that people went to church, I decided to I decided to begin going to church, and those days for me, I seemed to look God as an old man who held a big stick and was waiting for me to do any mistake, and then he would just thrash me. And I think because in my world, I was raised up by a single mom and I didn't have a father, so I could not think about God as a younger person. I would think him as the older person. And probably because in Africa, the elderly man is a symbol of authority, and an elderly man carried a cane with him, and that stick was used to discipline, but in some cases it was used to affirm. But I can tell you, in the world that I lived, I saw little affirmation. It was more of, why are you not doing this? And they would be pointing the cane and threatening to do something bad. And so for me, I was very scared about God. And I think this image was further cultivated when I went to school, because this, in the school, we had teachers who were in authority, and they would just wait for any moment, it seemed like, to just beat us up or cane us. It still continues today in some schools. And it felt like you are in this place, you are contained, and everybody is looking out for you to see what mistake you would do so that they thrash you. And therefore, I did not have any understanding of what true love was. But when I was 17 years old, I got to know Christ, and I begin to have an understanding about love. I will talk about that later. But many times in our lives, we are restricted in our understanding about God because of the images that have been created to us by our circumstances. So to me, God was that big man waiting to whip me if I went wrong. But to someone else, God could be something else that has been created by this culture. Jesus pointed us to God that, you know, loving God would be a way that we can be able to achieve obedience to that first commandment. And that is the love of God with all our hearts, with all our might, and with all our souls. Then Christ talked about the second level of love. And he said it is like the first. And in this one, the emphasis is the love for self. Jesus says, love the other neighbor, love your neighbor as you love yourself. In many cases, we cannot give what we do not have. And I believe that is why Jesus says that it is loving the other person as you love yourself. And in this passage, we see as if there is an order. You love God, and then you love yourself. You are able to love yourself. I must say that in our context today, in our world today, there are many hurting people, people who have been hurt by others, and people who have been expected to act in certain ways so that they can be given love. The world loves conditionally. Many times we expect to be good. Please go to the next one. Yeah, we are expected to be good, we are expected to be nice, we are expected to be cool so that we can receive love from the world. And because of these limitations of the kind of love that is given to us in the world, we grow up not knowing how to love ourselves. And we tend to think that loving ourselves has to do with certain things that we have to do. I have to work so hard to please somebody. I have to so hard to be a nice girl so that God can love me. I have to be so nice so that my neighbors can love me. But that is not it. And according to what Jesus is teaching here, when we love God with all our heart, then I believe he can teach us how to love ourselves. Even many times as we grow up, our own parents also succumb to their limitations, and they also demand that we also act in certain ways. Sometimes when you have a difficult child, a child that is not conforming to what is required, even parents give up. But God is a God of love, like I said before. He loves unconditionally. And therefore, coming to God and learning how to love God with all our hearts, with all our strength, with all our soul, can teach us how to love ourselves unconditionally, because we may not see it from other human beings. Our backgrounds definitely contribute to who we are. And I want to share my experience just in a very one or two minutes. I grew up in the slums in a place called Kiambu Town, and it is in the central province of Kenya. And where I lived, I was raised by a single mom, and the people around me were also single mothers trying to care for their children. And they worked so hard, they labored so hard. But most times, their labors gave them so much stress that they were not able to express love. And I never saw love in my own home, and I never saw it in my surroundings. Every day, there was a sound of a child crying because their parent is thrashing them or shouting at them or something, and that was my environment. When I was 17 and I got to know Christ as a savior, it is more about reading the Bible that made me to see what love is, because it was described. I was never a reader before, and at 17, when I now started kind of reading, I began to understand what love is and what God loves. Love is. I started to understand what God says about me as a person and his relationship with me. And I must tell you, even though I may not be able to describe in detail, it has been a journey, a long journey. But it was the beginning of a turnaround in knowing how to love me. I had very poor self-esteem, and therefore I could not be able to love other people unconditionally, and I didn't know what to offer. But when I began to learn who God was and how he loves me unconditionally, and how he says I'm beautiful, I'm fearfully made in his image, then I started to learn how to accept that love and how to love me. So my journey as a Christian, 26 years now, still continues to teach me how to love me. And then Jesus now talks about the third level of love, which is love for the neighbor. But we know that in Jesus' definition of a neighbor, it is not a neighbor that necessarily the person who lives next to you. It is a person who is in need, like he gave in the story of the Samaritan. The injured man that was helped by a Samaritan. And so we get to know that love is, we get to know that your neighbor is not just the one who lives around you, it is the person that needs your help. And to be able to offer love to such person, to such persons, because some of them will not be attractive, some of them will not be lovable, so to say, and therefore it is difficult. And unless we have learned how to love God, and then God has taught us to love me, to love ourselves, it is difficult to extend love to other people. So today, I feel that God is strongly calling us to be able to love him passionately, love him with all our beings, all who we are, and love ourselves. Ask him to help us to love ourselves unconditionally, so that we can be able to do to others what we would like them to do to us if we were the ones in need. Today, I work in Africa. Pastor Cindy has already told you about how we came here and did our PhDs, myself and my husband, went back to Africa for the sake of the ministry that we do. And among many ministries that we do is reaching out to orphans. you know, in my growing up, when I was 21, my mother, who had raised us single-handedly, also died, and I was orphaned at 21, left with a 19-year-old sister, a 14-year-old brother, and a 12-year-old sister. So with three siblings to take care of at 21, life was very difficult. And I have no time to give you the details of it. I can explain to those who will be able to come to the adult class. But my experience trying to help my own siblings really contributes to what I do with orphans today. Because at a later time in our lives in Kenya, in the late 80s and early 90s, we began to have a lot of people dying because of HIV and AIDS. And today in Kenya, we have 2.5 million orphans out of a population of 40 million people. So almost 7% of the population is orphaned. And more than 50% of those orphans is because of HIV and AIDS. And when I saw younger kids being orphaned, like 10-year-old being left with younger kids to take care of, 16-year-old left with younger, and my experience was 21 left with younger, I felt that something needed to be done. And I must say, to be able to do what we do today, it had to take God. I am not a superhero, but I have been in a journey, learning how to love God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, learning how to love me because of what God has done in my life, and now learning how to love others and to help those who are in need. I believe that God is calling us to be able to love Him, to be able to love ourselves, and to be able to love others unconditionally. So let's ask God to help us. And in my conclusion, I have the words of William Packey, who said, "You've got to dance like there is nobody watching, to love like you will never be hurt, to sing like there is nobody listening, and to live like it is heaven on earth." Thank you.
Thank you.
may be seated. Well, as we come to our time of prayer of the people, we want to acknowledge the prayer requests that we have today. One is from Margie Donaldson, who saw an accident, and so she would like prayer for the accident victim here in Santa Rosa this morning. I don't know if any of you saw there was an accident. And please pray for Jonathan Steele as he has his knee replacement surgery on Thursday. So we'll pray for Jonathan's knee surgery to go well. And we also, I was with Ted Crouch at UCSF at California Pacific Medical Center on Friday. He had just been moved to a regular room after recovering from surgery, and he looked so much better than he did before surgery. He was happy, laughing, able to talk. They were going to serve him apple pie, which is what he wanted for supper. He was so excited about that because he hadn't eaten any real food for over a week. But he's going to be able to probably be discharged around next Tuesday and is hoping for some of the latest treatments that they have for pancreatic cancer. And he's got a world-renowned surgeon that's working with him. And so he had a lot of hope. But of course, this makes you realize that every single day is precious. And you can tell that he's just so grateful to have a chance to continue to live as long as he can. So keep Ted and Alice, especially, in your prayers. And his boys are there as often as they can be, too. We want to also, just when I was thinking about the miracle that Rosemary is and what she came from and what an amazing person she is with getting all the education she's gotten and the way she and her husband serve, one of the first things that African Enterprise started to do when they got formed in Africa was to reach out to prostitutes. And I was thinking they're exactly showing the love of God. They went to the streets, called prostitutes to come into a project to teach them how to sew, how to do bead crafts. And I'm actually wearing one of the necklaces that the bead craft people have made in Africa. And they gave them an alternative to having to prostitute to be able to feed their children. And so I thought, just how much of an example of God's love is that, you know, to do that? And it also helped stop the spread of AIDS, because HIV was getting spread through prostitution too. And just thinking about how grateful Rosemary is for every day. And I think when you come from nothing, when you come from so little and have so little support as a child, and even when you come from a very violent experience, and then you have this understanding of how it's not supposed to be that way and how God did not intend for it to be that way, and realize that God loves you no matter what, it's just has created such an amazing miracle here with us. And the way she loves the children that she takes care of, they have 70 now that are in the By Grace home, children's home. And to witness the love that is there and the support, and I've been there a number of times, never heard a harsh word to a child, never seen a child ever be treated in a harsh way. They're loved into good behavior instead of being hit with a stick for correcting behavior. And so it's just such a miracle too to see how she's transformed the whole place into such a loving, giving place. And so let's hold up African Enterprise. Stephen Mbogo is preaching down in LA today while his wife is here preaching. And just hold up the whole family. Joy is in an American school there, in a boarding school, and their son Victor just received news that he's been accepted to the Berklee School of Music in Boston. And so he'll be going to college in Boston, and he plays amazing jazz saxophone, and that's how he got into that school. So I'm so grateful that their children are continuing kind of their legacy of good education, and also they're very loving children and very caring to other children. And so now let's turn to our prayer of the people. Our shepherd satisfies our needs in faith, so let us pray to the Lord. O Lord, our God, we pray for the church. Entrust to us the message of your gospel so that we may share your good news through simple kindness and tender words.
Lord, your mercy, hear our prayer.
O Lord, our God, we pray for the earth. How long, O Lord, will your creation suffer?
Let the work of our hands be a blessing to the world you have made.
Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
O Lord, our God, we pray for all nations. Lift up leaders who delight in your law and people who rejoice in what is right. Let them prosper like trees bearing good fruit.
Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
By your wisdom, show us what it means to live according to your justice and mercy and to love our neighbors as ourselves.
Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
O Lord our God, we pray for loved ones. Bless and keep your faithful servants who have come at last to their life's end. We pray for our loved ones and for those we did not know and they died alone.
Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Loving Shepherd, lead and guide us in green pastures and by still waters, in right paths and through dark valleys, until we feast with you in glory and dwell in your house forever. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
today than in English. Mungu awabariki, Mungu awe nanyi. Mungu abariki vinywaji vyenu. Mungu abariki kazi ya mikono yenu. Mungu awabariki muweze kumpenda, kujipenda na kupenda wengine. May the Lord bless you. May his face shine upon you. May the Lord bless the work of your hands. May the Lord bless everything that you eat and drink. May the Lord bless you in your going out and in your coming in. May the Lord bless you so that you can know how to love him and love yourself and love others. Amen.
Amen.